just so you know, it's rated pretty brutal because it's, well, there's some salty language, but that's the reason it's rated R is because it's pretty brutal. They kind of show you the means of war, but what an amazing man. I want you to understand what they're just saying there. He didn't carry a gun. He wouldn't touch a gun. He wouldn't touch it because of the principles that he had. Now, what's so funny is there's other people that were in the war that obviously knew and loved Jesus too, but he was a principled man, and he believed what he was to do with God. When we get to that point, no matter what our belief system is, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, when you get to that point, you're gonna be at the place where there is this level of trust with God that you know that everything's gonna be okay. And the reason I showed you that is because of the scripture we'll be at today, and I'm gonna take you, and I'm stopping at where we stopped today. This is where we began, remember. I want you to always remember what we taught in the past on this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge, and His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And here's where we are stuck today. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Desmond Doss is a great example, post-Bible stories, of this very thing. He was in the midst of, which, by the way, just so you know, he actually saved a couple of Japanese guys' lives too. Okay, so this wasn't just, he was there, he'd had no weapon, he was on top of a hill. I don't want to tell the whole story, see the movie or don't. He's got a documentary out, it's about an hour long, watch it. They had to climb up this homemade rope up somewhere around between 30 and 100 feet. Nobody can figure out how far because they didn't know where they climbed them up at. And it was at the top where the battle was. So he had to get men down by himself because everybody else had checked out. And he was getting men down, 75 of them through the night. Just kept dropping men down on rope to get them down to be safe without any weapons. Crazy. But somehow, because of the trust that he had in God, this scripture had to have been running and running and running in his mind. 1,000 will fall by my side, 10,000 by my right side, but it will not affect me. So I want you to, can you see it? It's in this secret place that we go, is where trust can be found. And again, Desmond Doss trusted God, and he got to see firsthand this scripture. So it's in this secret place where faith of God becomes trust in God. You know what I'm saying? We have faith in God, and we have faith of God, but when you get to this place, when you stay and hang with Jesus all the time, or at least most of the time, when you understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you're there, man, powerful things happen. You learn to trust. So I want to show you a story. This story was like blurped in my book. I haven't taught this in 100 years. It's a story that we all know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all know this story, but I want to walk you through it today as a reminder of how great your God is, and that if you'll just hang with Him, man, He's going to, and it's all about, listen to me, man, it's all about believing. It's all about, because I can hear people say it, man, I love this scripture, I've read this scripture, but it doesn't work for me. It's not about working for you. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just rabbit trailing like crazy right now. It doesn't matter. Listen to this. This is important. Truth is beyond facts. The fact is, humans cannot walk on water unless it's frozen. That is a fact. But the truth is, Jesus and Peter walked on water. That's the truth. The fact is, you might be in the midst of a horrific battle. The truth is, I don't care what you're fighting, they're going to fall to the left and to the right. That's the truth. I don't care what the facts are in your situation. There is truth that goes beyond fact. Oh, that's kind of hard to understand. Wait. We can use that in everything, man. We can use that in everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let's start it. Let's rock and roll. Here's the story. King Nebuchadnezzar, if you want to say it right, it's Nebuchadnezzar. We'll call him King Neb. How's that? King Neb made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. A gold statue, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he sent messages to the high officers, the officials, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the providential officials, anybody that was in leadership, obviously, to come to this dedication of the statue that he had set up. So all the officials came and stood before the statue and King Neb that he had set up. So then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Simple process. Not a deal. Until the tattletales show up. Here we go. But some of the Chaldeans, which, by the way, the Chaldeans, they were interesting people. They always wanted to be in leadership. And the only time they could get in leadership is when some king would appoint them in leadership somewhere in Babylon. So these guys that they're fixing the tattle on are guys that are already in Babylon. So they're obviously wanting to be replaced. So some of the Chaldeans went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. And that decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some of these Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Stop for just a second. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that is not their God-given names. They were now under captivity in Babylon. They actually had God names in the beginning because they're Hebrews. But they changed their name so that they could amount to the Babylon culture. Well, the reason I just want to stop there and point that out is there are times where people will say things concerning you and it's really not who you are. Do you hear what I'm saying? If somebody's telling you you're a loser all the time, you start believing you're a loser. But you're not a loser. You are who got what God calls you. Like today, it would be like if Islam took over, they would change the name David to the name Muhammad or whatever. So they changed their names because they wanted them to be incorporated in their culture. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, actually his names were different. It was like Michael and something else, whatever. I didn't want to bore you with the details of it. What I want you to understand is, how many of you have a nickname? How many of you have a nickname that is because of something you did? What's your nickname, Ed? Can you not say it? What's your nickname? What is it? Pumpkin, and why? Okay, he's honest. His nickname's Pumpkin. Pumpkin because his navel stuck out. So I guess it looked like a pumpkin. So people call you Pumpkin, right? But just say you go to school. So you go to school and all your family's been calling you Pumpkin your whole life. You go to school and when you go into the school, they call you Ed and you're like, "Well, yeah, Ed, I guess is my name, but that's not my real name. My real name's Pumpkin." Why? Because everybody calls you Pumpkin because of the pumpkin, right? So then you can say, "Well, that's my school name is Ed, but my real life name is Pumpkin." And now you're going to be called Pumpkin from everybody in this church congregation. Sorry about that, but that's just the way cruel Christians tend to be. My point is, we kind of have our nicknames and then we have our real names. The enemy is so keen at trying to make you believe you are something that who you aren't. For instance, God declares that you are totally, completely righteous. He says so, he declares it. The enemy tries to tell you otherwise. He wants to give you another name. You get it. Live in the name that God has given you. So anyway, but their Jews were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge of the province of Babylon, which is why we're tattling on them. I didn't say that part. So they pay no attention to you, King, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue that you set up, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. King, we're telling on them. They're not doing it like you said they have to do it. Here's what's funny. Listen to this. This is important. It would have been a whole lot easier for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just to bow one time. What's it going to hurt? I'm still going to serve my God. You get it. We rationalize a lot of times in the kingdom. And when I'm saying rationalize, it's different than what you're thinking. What I mean by that is, it's not rationalizing sin. We rationalize love. What do you mean? I mean, we rationalize if we can love somebody else, no matter what the situation is. I'm not talking about rationalizing sin. We've shared that so long. Y'all can just figure that out yourself. I'm talking about how we rationalize and choose and handpick who we determine that we're going to love. So we rationalize these things. Oh, you know, I know God loves them. I get it, Steve, but dude, I can't stand them. Man, there you go. That's what I'm talking about, rationalization. So just this one time, I'm going to hate them. Yeah, that's just not the way how it works. So I just love the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which you're fixing to see, they had every opportunity to just, you know, come on, it's just once. It's not going to change anything. Oh, it changes. So let's rock and roll. Here we go. So then Nebuchadnezzar was mad. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. Why? Because he had made an order. And somebody said they weren't going to do it. So Nebuchadnezzar flew into rage, ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they brought him in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, this is so funny to me. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue that I've set up? I'll give you one more chance. Like, you can, really, sir. Like, you have the power. I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Man, oh man, oh man. I hear people that were bosses telling their employees. Which, by the way, that reminds me, just want you to know, you can work at In-N-Out Hamburgers for $14.50 an hour. Starting pay. And they have, I'm not playing, but that's not the biggest point. The biggest point is you get free food. I'm telling you, I could work there part-time and I would take $12,000 worth of food from them in a year's time. $14.50 an hour starting and up to $16.50 an hour at In-N-Out Burger Hamburger. I'm not playing. I just saw that yesterday. I was excited about it. I told my wife, and I'm like, I'm just going to tell them, it's free food. I'll just work for you. I don't know why I did that. I don't know what that had to do with anything. And then what God will be able to rescue from me for. Let me find out where I'm at on my notes here. So, here's what, the king has, man, the enemy does this to us all the time, doesn't he? Bowed up and made his stand. And he's bigger, he's more powerful, he's the boss. Here we go, here comes the fun part. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love this, said, oh, Neb, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. What this literally means is, we don't have to go powwow and make a decision. We don't have to pull aside and decide. This is not Shark Tank. You've seen Shark Tank, right? Where they're all making decisions and you want to, will you give us a few minutes and that? Yeah, and they go out and discuss it and then they come back and say, well, we picked Mark Cuban, you know. No. These guys knew God. They're like, King, we don't have to think this. We don't got to think this. We don't have to take no time on this, dude. They said, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, now in my book, this is the point that I share. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Oh, he is. We love that part. He's able. God is able. He's above and above. We preach it and preach and preach it. And then they said, and he will rescue us. And oh, we love that one too, don't we? And God will, he will, because he has to. He doesn't have to do nothing. He's God. He doesn't have to do nothing, but he has to do his word. He's God. He didn't have to do your understanding of what his word says. Because if we're going to go there, then we got to really walk in love. So you really got to love everybody. I mean, everybody. See, well, it's like, well, I can't do that. Well, okay, then chill. So he will rescue us. Man, we've preached it for years. But here's what we haven't preached. But even if he doesn't, now, wait a minute, Steve, you're talking about faith and stuff. And now you're talking about, what do you mean? How can I believe? How can you believe is a good question. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you've set up. We ain't going to do it. Sir, we respect you, but we're not bowing down to you. We are part of this country. In fact, you've already raised us up, because I don't know if you know their story, but before this all happened, when they changed their names, Daniel was a real smart guy. When they would take, they were smart when they would take over countries, because they would go out and find the smartest people and then bring them into their fold and use them. So Daniel was pretty smart and stuff. So Daniel and his men, and the king said, okay, well, we're going to bring you in and we're going to fatten you up and make you the way we want you. And Daniel said, please just let us eat. You've heard the Daniel fast, right? That's where this comes from. We just want to eat our vegetables and stuff. We don't want the rich foods and stuff. And so the king's like, all right, whatever. Well, anyway, it ends up being that all these Hebrews were much more healthy than these guys were getting all fat and rich and eating all the good foods. Good food, you know, tasty food, not rabbit food. That's what people say, how do you know what to diet? When you eat something that doesn't taste good, that's how you know it's healthy. Do you not know that? If it tastes good, forget it. If it even smells good, you gain weight. You just stay away from that. So anyway, so they had already raised them up. That's why they were over Babylon already. So these guys were part of the leadership too. And so here's this story. But even if he doesn't, so God can. Yes, he can, and God will, and I promise you he will. But where you got to get to is even if he doesn't. But let me tell you something. When you get to the place where it's even if he doesn't, he always does. Does that make sense? I want you to hear that again. When you get to the place where you even like, you know what, even if he doesn't, even if God doesn't intervene, I'm still going to serve him. But then he does intervene. Oh, not in the way that you want to believe he intervenes. When my daughter was hit and killed in the automobile accident, you know, that whole process of me was going, that's where that came out of in that book, in the book that I wrote. That this whole process of God can and God will. And God will and he will and he will. But even if he doesn't, let's add to that, even if he doesn't do it the way that I've decided he needs to do it, I'm still going to serve him. I can't tell you. You can ask my wife. She's the same way. We prayed for years. Leah was tense like me. And we would pray for years. God protect her little heart. She was tender to everybody. She absolutely loved everybody. And I mean the down and outer, way beyond the down and outer. She just loved everybody. And people would hurt her feelings when people would treat the down and outer bad. And then she was beautiful. And her whole being, not just her physicalness, but she was just a beautiful kid. But man, she just had this edge about wanting to help people. And we would constantly, God, please touch my daughter. Bless her, Lord. Keep her protected. And then so when all this happened and we're on our way to the hospital, we already knew in our heart that God had taken her home. We knew it. But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't want, maybe he did. I think now that I'm alive still, that maybe he protected her from all this. Ooh, I almost said a real bad word. Stuff that we're dealing with, because her heart was so tender. By the way, I'm not making excuses for God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not up here making excuses for God. He doesn't need me to make excuses for him. He's God, I'm not. I honestly starting to get that. So I trust him. And I shared in the book the story about my son when he was little. And I told you how he climbed up into a palm tree that has no branches. He climbs up on the house and into the palm tree. And, of course, I'm in the house, and Gay comes in all frantic. Jake's up in the tree, and I start laughing, and she's not laughing. So I'm like, oh, God, this is serious. I go out there, sure enough, about 15 feet up, Ed, 15 feet up. Yes. And so I'm like, Jake, I'm so mad yet so scared. Jake, don't move. I'm going to come up and get you. I'm just hanging on. So I literally take one step to get to the house. True story. And he said two words that ran chills down my spine. Dad, catch. And I look up and he's jumped. Thank God, at least at that point in time, I was coordinated. If he jumped now, he'd kill me. He's so big. But I caught him. I was so mad. I caught him and I spiked him. I just had a real visual. I should have done that. I know I caught him and I firmly sat him down and I screamed at him. Jacob, Stephen, Vance. That's when you know you're in trouble, when your mama uses a middle name. Like my mom used to say, Stephen Eugene. I just told y'all my middle name, sorry. So I just, Jacob, Stephen, Vance, why did you do that? Well, you're my dad and I knew you'd catch me. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? You want to walk in faith? I'm a faith. That's why I tell people, are you a man of faith? No, I'm not. I trust. I'm a man of trust. Because faith says, Dad, I want to jump. Son, don't be stupid. Dad, come on, we can do this. I'm the one that has to catch you. Dad, come on, I'm going to count to three. All right, son, we'll try this, but if you get hurt, it's not my fault. All right, 1, 2, 3, he jumps, I catch him. Woo, that's faith. Trust is just jumping out of the tree. Knowing that your daddy God's going to catch you. That's trust. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They had trust. God can and God will, but you know what? Even if he doesn't. And I want you to, again, after they got to the even if he doesn't, what did he do? He did. But when you can live in the trust, man, the I wills will happen all the time. And don't get mad at me when the I wills happen for me. I tell people some crazy great testimonies, and they're like, they bow up. Well, man, that ain't right. You know, like when I had to go to the emergency room. I go to the emergency room, and I go online to pay the bill. True story, I'd already paid $250 at the emergency room. I go to pay the bill, and I have $139 credit. Because they hadn't sent me a bill, and I was all feeling bad about it. But I didn't want to do it because I thought, well, maybe God's just blinding their eyes to the bill. And see, so I'm doing it my way. Maybe he's, you know, I'm feeling guilty. Finally, I just get online, and then I start to type in my information. I thought, no, because the second I click it, they're going to know I saw the bill. And then they're going to say, oh, he saw the bill. We're going to make him pay this $8,000 or whatever it's going to be. And I click on there, and I'm like, they owe me. So $250, $140, so it cost me $90, $110, whatever the math is, to go to the hospital. What am I saying? Be happy for me. Be happy for me and my family, because I can tell you a million more. And I sometimes don't like telling those type of stories because number one, I want you to think I'm bragging, but I am. I'm bragging about me, about him. I can't do that stuff. Are you kidding? But I want you to understand when you get to a place where you just, it's like, okay, I'm jumping. God, I'm jumping. And that's really where I was with my own. I sat in my office not 5 hours after Leah had gone, and I looked up where Jesus sits, and I just said, I'm not going to ask you any questions on this. I don't even want to know. And normally I'm really inquisitive. I just said, I got to trust you. And then life goes on a little bit. So fast forward, and the man who hit and killed my daughter comes to church. I didn't know it was him, and he came down at the end of the service, and I'm praying with him, and he's broken, and I'm thinking he's getting a divorce or something because he's broken. God, forgive me. 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 And so I'm praying with him, God, heal this man's heart. Da, 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 and he looks up, and he says his name to me. And I grab him. Now, look, but I don't want you to think I'm cool because we weren't in the mall. If we were in the mall, I probably would have shot him. You get what I'm saying? God knew me well enough to know, let's get it while I got a little Jesus in him. And I held him, and we wept bitter tears and talked with him, explained to him why I wouldn't come off of he had made a plea bargain, and we didn't want the plea bargain to happen. And so anyway, long story short, he leaves. I'm driving away. My wife was out of town with her mother that was sick with cancer, and God, Charity was here, and Jake was gone, and all of God planned it. He planned it. I know he planned it just to be safe. And so I'm driving, and I'm like, man, God, that was like made for TV movie, you know? And I'm laughing and stuff and kind of freaked out. And I'm like, why did you trust me in that? Because I was serious. Because honestly, guys, really, if I'd have seen it, which if I'd have seen him in the mall, I wouldn't have known him. I didn't know the guy. I had never seen his face. And I just very gently, the Lord sent me back to the office where I said, I just trust you. He said, you trusted me, so I'm going to trust you. Amen. With that situation. Again, that does not make Steve Van Zandt awesome, but that does prove that Jesus is real. Because I would have kicked the living hoo-hootie out of him. You get what I'm saying? Okay. So, let me see where I'm at on my, see if I got, I didn't really put a whole lot of notes just because of this, I just love this story so much. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Okay, so, where am I at? The golden worship setup. Okay, so now here it comes. Here comes the story. Here's where it happens. Nebuchadnezzar is really mad now. Oh, we don't need to talk about a king. We're not going to do what you're telling us to do. We're just not. So there you go. So Neb was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. You ever been that mad? You ever been that mad? Where somebody looks at you and goes, oh man, you mad, ain't you? Dude, the man was mad. And he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Stop. I know there's people in here today that you feel like you're right there right now. You're in a, you thought you were in the heat last week, but this week it's 7 times hotter. I want you to pay attention to this story. This is important. So then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, their turbans, their robes, and their other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So the enemy comes in and puts the heat on you, and then people fall on your left hand and they fall on your right hand, and you're not touched. I just see Desmond Doss fighting the enemy with nothing in his hands but a little drugs for the guys when they get hurt and some tourniquets and stuff. Bullets are flying everywhere. I just love it. And then the heat's turned up. So that way he can just save one more. So verse 23, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Why did they fall? Because everybody else was dead that we're going to throw them in. Right? But suddenly, I love God. Man, there's so many times in the Word where it talks about but suddenly. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord startled the shepherds and told them about Jesus. Everything suddenly, I love this. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Oh, yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Yes, we did. We got all 3 of them in that furnace. Ha, ha, ha. Well, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted. Look! I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the 4th one looks like a son of the gods. Well, it wasn't the son of the gods. It was son of Jehovah, Yeshua, Yamashiach, the lion and the lamb, just happened to show up saying, really, really? Well, let me just go hang with them. Just in case they want to take credit. I want you to notice something very important. God delivered them when they were in the furnace. He did not deliver them from the furnace. We've taught that for years. That if you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. If you cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered. And we taught that for years. That you don't have to go through it. And if you're going through it, there must be sin in your life, Johnny, if you're going through something. I've shared the story here, but I had a guy on our basketball team when I was in college. That very thing, a bunch of us, about five or six of us, had a real bad cold. And he just flat rebuked us. Man, I just want you to know, if you was living right, you wouldn't be walking in all this sickness and darkness and stuff. If you just would believe right. Well, that really worked for him until about 2 weeks later when he had a cold. And none of us did. So it was reverse. I almost said his name. What about you, mister? That stuff's so crazy. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why sometimes God waits till you're in the fire to deliver you in the midst of the fire. Because it was in the midst of the fire that their bondage was burned off. I think it's funny that the Bible specifically said it like three times. He bound them. He tied them. They were bound up, tied up. We tied them. He bound them. He tied them. He tied them. And then Nebuchadnezzar had to go. Not just the four men are in there, but dude, they're unbound. Well, come on. Of course they're unbound if the fire was that hot, right? I'm not telling you have to go through stuff, but I am telling you will go through stuff. Jesus said it very clearly, man. He painted this horrific picture of the last days. You know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and floods and all this stuff. And then he looks at the guys and said, but hey, not a deal, man. Take heart. Many trials and tribulations are in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Amen. So if he's overcome it and I haven't, where do I need to hang? So sometimes God uses the fire to loose folks from what binds them. Yeah, what are you going through right now? What is God purifying in you? Because it's in the fire where purification happens, ladies and gentlemen. It's when the fire gets really, really hot. It'll spit like silver or gold. If your silver or gold is impure, it's the heat of the fire that causes that dross to the scum, if you will, to come up so that it can get cleaned off. That's where it is. It's in the pressing. It's in the pressing where you become a diamond. You know, it's a beautiful diamond. Well, you know if that's a perfect diamond? Because there are a handful of perfect diamonds. It's because it had, watch this, perfect pressure from every angle of it, of this diamond. No matter how big the diamond is, don't care how big the diamond is. If it was perfect, it has perfect pressure from every single avenue of life. What does that mean? In your relationships, in your job, in your health, in your emotions, in your finances. Pressure, 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 pressure. But it's in that pressure, man, that comes forth. And the anointing. Oh, I want the anointing of a God. Then you're going to be squeezed. It's olive oil. That's what in the Bible, if you'll study the Bible, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And when they would, you know how they would anoint, David was anointed with oil. All oil. Yeah, that's cool, man. I love that oil. Well, yeah, but it's the processes of getting the oil out. they scrush it and squash it and squash it and squash this little olive until every little ounce drop of oil can come out, and then it's ready. See, we want the finished product. We don't want to go through the fire. I'll never forget Judson Cornwall, one of my mentors, when he was alive. And I think I've shared that, but he told me the story of this pastor that was highly successful. So honest to God, he was. He'd take a church of nothing, and it was already over like 3,000 people and had all this stuff going on. And Judson was so not like this with me. He was just so not like this. So there was something he was trying to tell me. I didn't know until the end. So he's telling me his story and how cool this guy is and He knows very well that there was some questionable stuff going on in that particular ministry that might not be of utmost greatness, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm thinking, while he's telling me this whole story, how awesome this ministry is, I'm thinking of those things and thinking how terrible I am while he's telling me this story, how great this place is, of how man, there's some things there that just don't line up, in my opinion. But I didn't say nothing. I'm just driving him back to the airport going, I wish I was at the airport. And he finishes telling me this whole story about how great this ministry is. And then he goes, but man, I feel sorry for them. I'm like, what? You just shared how awesome this is. How can you feel sorry? I don't feel sorry for the billionaire, do you? And I go, really? He goes, yeah, because it's going to fail. And I said, why in the world would you say that? And he said, because he hasn't been through nothing. Because he hadn't been through nothing. I never really got that until later when I started going through some stuff. My daughter, my sister, just those are just some examples. Other stuff. That's where you, it's in the fire where you find out what you're made of. It's in the fire where if you let the fire complete its process, man, you'll come out just like they did. Watch. Here's how they came out. Let's go there. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace, which obviously wasn't too close because it was 7 times hotter. And he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, servants of Elohim. That is a word that literally means God of all gods, there's none higher. And it took the fire for Nebuchadnezzar to figure it out. I love it. He's so funny, though. This is funny. This story gets funny to me. Watch this. He says, to servants of the Most High God, come out, come in here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, the officials, the governors, and the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's how you'll come out of the fire. That's when people would tell me, you know what, Steve, you're just not dealing with the death of your daughter. No, baby, I came out of the fire, and I didn't even smell like smoke. Do you get it? It's really cool. So here's what's so funny to me. This is what I love about Nebuchadnezzar. He's greatness right here. Let's go to the next one. So then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They didn't have faith in God. They trusted him because the truth is they could have become crispy critters. It could have happened, and then we never would have known this story, or would we have? They defiled the king's command and were, this is the king telling himself, they defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, the king says, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. This just tickles me, man. It's like, man, what a great God will kill anybody who doesn't believe in you. It's kind of like what us Christians do. They'll be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble because there is no other. Not yet. Back off of that one. There's no other. Here, I have it. Watch this. There's no other, they cut and paste too quick, is what happened there. There's no other God who can rescue like this. So Nebuchadnezzar, you will bow down. Then he sees this incredible thing that God did and goes, wow, this guy's, this is the God. This is the God. This is the real God. This isn't my God. This is the real God. Isn't it amazing that God didn't just like melt that 9 foot wide gold piece of metal and then just tell the people how horrible they were? Isn't that amazing to you? The statue stayed, I guess, and nobody said nothing about it. Who needs a statue when you have God, a living, breathing God who changes your life in an instant? So, having all that happen, going through the fire, being unbound in the fire, I can see it. I was unbound in all of my fires in life. I was unbound. I was unbound from having to be right. I've been unbound from having to understand everything. You know, the Bible says very clearly, we will know in part, we prophesy in part. So if that's the, would you please shut up like you got all the answers? I'm telling you, I'm on my last nerve. I have some friends that are universalists. You know universalists? They believe nobody goes to hell, there's no hell, that everybody gets to go to heaven. I'm on my last nerve with them simply because they're no different than anybody else because they slam anybody else that doesn't believe the way that they believe. In fact, I'm probably going to post this on Facebook. I've already posted it privately to a friend. I'm fixing to post it publicly, so get ready, ladies and gentlemen, to unfriend me. But because the truth is, and here's exactly what I said, their theology is not going to send you to hell, but who in the heck would want to be their neighbor in heaven? Could we just, for God's sake, and I said, for God's sake, love people. I don't care what our opinion is, what our label is, and I got my own labels. This is the month of love. Valentine's the month of love. We got to learn to love, folks. I have been unbound in that. And maybe that was in the fire of my daughter's death. Maybe that was in the fire of my own self-hatred. And Jesus finally came in and rescued me from who I am. But I have been unbound, and it was all in the fire. It's good stuff, man. So after all that happened, here's what I love. Here's the last verse of the entire chapter we just covered. Then, when, after all of that stuff occurred, the king promoted... The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of the Babylonians that those Chaldeans were trying to get their positions. So now they're even entrenched higher up than what the little minions that were the tattletales. God will promote you in ways you will never understand. When you accept the fact that there will be fire, but in the midst of the fire, he will save you in the fire, not from it. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he protects us from. But in the fire is where he allows us in the fire. And again, that's where those things are bound. Those things that bind us are loosened. And then when we come out of the fire, he's like, whoa, you don't even smell like smoke. I promote you. And he promotes us. Pretty powerful. All right, I'm done except for this. The scripture we just did, right? Let's look at it. 1,000, the word eleph, may fall, nafal, at your side, and 10,000, it's a double whammy, rababa, rababa, at your right hand. That's another double whammy. Same word used twice. But it shall not come nagashu near you. Only your eyes shall look forward and see the reward of the wicked. Here's Steve Van Zandt's interpretation after doing this. 1,000 sent by the enemy may be cast down at your side and countless thousands on your right hand. That word literally means myriads. And countless thousands on your right hand, but it will not come close to you, affect you, or disturb you. Without a doubt, your physical and spiritual eyes will observe, inspect, and recognize the payment for damages that were earned by the wicked and the immoral and the corrupt. No matter what you're going through, no matter, am I off? There I go. What you've determined that you believe. Desmond Doss, great example. He went and he took some serious heat from his guys, and you can't blame him. Would you want to go into battle if a guy didn't have a weapon in? No, who would? Because now you're going to have to protect him and you, you're thinking. I get this thing. I get why those guys were upset. But there was a bigger plan because Desmond decided, you know what? I don't have to explain this to you. This is just my principles, my beliefs. This is what I believe. And he almost got court-martialed out of it, by the way, but he didn't. Because God had a plan to protect him in the fire. And listen, when you're in the fire, oh, it's fire and you're in it. You're going to see the 1,000 fall and the 10,000 fall, and you will not be harmed. Not only will you not be harmed, you'll come out not smelling like anything. It's awesome. Stand with me.
I just want to ask this morning if there are those of you that feel like you're in a situation where you've just got to have an intervention from God. Are you in here today? You've got to have an intervention from God. And it may not even be just for you. Maybe it's for a family member, but it's affecting you. If that's you, I'd like for you just to lift your hand. That lifted hand says that you believe. And right now, We're going to believe in the name of Jesus and by the power that was before Jesus came and died and suffered. If God would have that kind of mercy before his son gave his life, what do you think we're going to experience today? Breakthrough. And I'm believing that we will not be bound and we will not be living in doubt and fear. But today, as we studied in Sunday school, thank you, Vela, God is not just the deliverer of my sin. God is my healer. God is not just my healer. God is my deliverer. And God is not just my deliverer, but he is a God of mercy and grace who pursues me in my doubt and fear. Today, Father, we just stand in agreement for those who need help. Intervene, God. Rescue. Rescue us. Redeem what we see into what heaven has said. Father, I thank you today, not because this is magic, but because it's the miraculous. We're moving, God, from a place of where we believe just because you said it, God. I want to believe it, God. And even if you don't, I'm going to thank you because a greater victory will be coming than the one I'm asking for. Give us today, everyone with lifted hands, the greater victory than what we can even believe for. Show us, God, the thing that we need. And bring about the fruits of your work. Peace. God, let there be peace on every heart right now with lifted hands. You're in control. Bring about joy because we're going to have great victories. And we thank you for this today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that prayer is going to set you free. I believe God has already gone before you. Some individual needs I know about, some I don't. But our faith stands in agreement with yours. That if God would do what he's done for us and many other testimonies, he'll do it for you. Believe it. Amen.
And now, a month from today is Purim. For those of you who know what Purim is, everybody know what Purim is? Purim Sunday?
You dress in costume.
You dress in costume and we yell at Haman.
Don't leave till I hug you in that cute little baby bump, okay? Love you.
Bless you. Hey, pray for us too. We'll be leaving today to go to El Paso. I got some dental work I got to get done. Be back in a couple of days, but just pray that my wife doesn't yell at me while I drive.